Please turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We'll be reading verses 1 through 17. John 15, 1 through 17. Hear the word of our Lord. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Now, I'm sure that many of us have had to say goodbye to someone. Someone that was going away for a long time. Maybe we've experienced children or siblings heading off to the military. Or maybe heading off to schools far away. We've had friends or family move to another state or even perhaps to another country. Perhaps we've had to say goodbye to a loved one on their deathbed, hopefully with the blessed hope of seeing them again in glory. What do these goodbyes look like? Well, they're usually filled with much emotion. And often they are a big life-altering event. There's generally sadness in the air. And if we're saying goodbye to someone, our hearts are hurting. And we're earnestly looking forward to the time when we will be able to see this loved one again. One of the predominant words that we'll use when we're saying goodbye to someone is love. We tell the one that's going away how much we love them, how much we will miss them. We give them assurances of our love, and we assure them in a sense that as they go away, our love is going with them. Well, as we look at the Gospel of John, and we look at these passages before our Lord dies on the cross, before he's betrayed by Judas, this is exactly what Jesus is doing here. He's saying goodbye to his disciples. Jesus knows he's going away. He knows that he's going to die. And so what he's doing here is he's saying goodbye to his disciples. And he's comforting them. He's comforting them. He's reassuring his disciples of his love. He's giving them comforting advice to keep following him. We see him expressing his hope here that his disciples would grow in faith, that they would experience the joy of his spiritual presence while he's gone. And now we know the disciples would briefly see Jesus again, but then he would physically leave them by ascending to sit at the right hand of the Father. Or when this happens, in their sorrow at their Savior leaving, when their hearts are longing again to be at their Savior's side, these 11 disciples could look back at these words that Jesus spoke, and they can know that although he's not physically present with them, yet they can abide in him. They can experience his nearness. They can be assured of his love. And they can express their love to him by obeying him. They can know through the joy that they experience that their Savior is near and that he is their friend. Our message this morning is entitled "The Inevitable Results of Abiding in Christ." First, we have everlasting love. Then we have thankful obedience. Then we have complete joy. And at the table, we're going to consider sacrificial friendship. Jesus tells his disciples in verse 9, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Jesus here compares the love that he has for his disciples to the love that God the Father has for him. I can't think of any greater love than the love that the Father has for the Son. And Jesus here says that this is the exact same love that Christ has for his disciples. Think of the Father's love for the Son. It's a perfect love. It's an enduring love. It will not falter. It will not fail. It's an eternal love. It has always been and it will always be. And this is the same love that the Son has for his disciples. As one commentator says it, it is pure, wholehearted, deep, personal, intelligent, and enduring. We see the Father expressing his love through the Son several times in Scripture. We see it at Jesus' baptism. And at the Transfiguration, where the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, if we think of the Father's love for the Son, this perfect love, and we compare it with the love we have for our family members and close friends, the love we have for each other, yes, it is an amazing blessing, a great blessing. But our selfishness, our pride, and even the finite aspect of our love limits its expression and limits its quality. but Christ. His love is perfect in every way. It does not fail. It is not affected by sin. It's a sacrificial love. It's a complete love. He loves his people just as the Father loves him. No doubt, you all agree that this is what Scripture is saying. But dear believer, do you actually really believe it? You know, sometimes it's easy for us to speak about the amazing things of the gospel in the third person. We say things like Christ has forgiven his people for all their sins. Christ suffered and died on the cross for believers. Christ perfectly loves all believers. But can we say this in the first person? Obviously you can't if you aren't a believer. But I think there's some here who struggle to say things like, Jesus has forgiven me. The Lord loves me with an everlasting love. My Lord Jesus suffered and died on the cross for me. You almost dare not confess that this is true for you. You have weak faith and you struggle with the fact that this can actually be true for you. But this is why the gospel is so amazing. This is why the gospel, in a sense, is so unbelievable. Against the reality of your remaining sin, against the reality of my remaining sin and our feeble faith, the Lord comes here in his word and he declares his love for you. He desires that you embrace and that you believe what he's saying in his word. The fact that the Father loves the Son, as he loves the church, also communicates to us the love of the Father for his people. So not only does this text show us how much Jesus loves his people, but it shows us how much the Father loves his people. The Father loves the believer just as he loves his Son. We know that this is true not only because our text reveals this to us, but because of the adoption of believers into the family of God. This is how close the relationship is between God and his people. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 15 through 17, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." What amazing love this is. How can this be? How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? How can it be that thou, the perfect, holy, just God who does all things well, that you, the ruler of the universe, pure righteousness and goodness, should love someone like me, a wretched man, still with so much sin, so much selfishness and unbelief? How was it possible? We have done nothing to earn thy love. We have only earned thy just punishment against sin. Well, Jesus gives a hint here. He gives us a hint of how this is possible. He says in verse 10b, I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And he says in verse 13, greater love hath no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. The Lord's love for his people is so great that he gave himself for them. He became us. He suffered the indignation of the curse. He did not sin. He kept his Father's commandments for us. And he loved us. The greatest love, by giving his life for his friends. The Lord says amazing and wonderful things about his people. And what the Lord says here, of course, isn't only for his disciples. It isn't only for other Christians. But it is for you. You who need and love the Lord Jesus Christ. You who struggle with assurance. You who cannot live without your Savior. Even though this morning you might feel distant or your heart might seem cold. Just as the Lord Jesus told his disciples of his love for them before he left them, so he gives us his words to comfort us while he is not present in his human nature with us. And Jesus does this. He tells us of his love to show us his heart. He tells us of his love for us because he really does love you. He testifies, he shows this because he bought us by giving himself for us. His love is so great that he laid down his life for us. And while we await his return, he wants us to be comforted by his love, knowing that although he is not physically present with us, he is spiritually present. He is ever with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And although he isn't physically present with us, yet this morning he gives us this Holy Supper as a visual and sensory representation of himself. So that as we see the elements, as we taste the bread and the wine, so we can be assured of his love. We can be comforted knowing that he is spiritually present with us. This supper laid before us this morning, it's a sure sign of Christ's love for you, dear believer. A sure sign of his desire that you abide in his love. Jesus speaks of this in verse 9. He tells his disciples of abiding, of this abiding. He says, continue or abide ye in my love. And then he tells us, then he reveals to us how we are to abide in his love. He says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Keeping the Lord's commandments, this is the natural response of the Christian. It's inevitable that every believer, it's inevitable that obedience to the Lord's law will be seen in every believer's life. Obedience is the result. It's the result of Christ shining his love in our hearts. And it's also necessary. It's also necessary for us to abide in him. Adherence to and love for God's law will always accompany saving grace. And it's also necessary for us to grow in our faith and love for our Savior. Her obedience does not merit our salvation. We do not earn our justification or our sanctification through obedience, but it is necessary for our salvation. It is not meritorious, but it is a command we obey as evidence of our salvation. John makes this clear in this verse. There's a clear connection here between Christ's obedience to the Father and our obedience to the law. Our obedience is not possible without Christ's obedience. We cannot obey God unless we find new life in Christ. Unless we find our hope in an obedient and sacrificed Savior. What Christ has done always comes first. We love Him because He first loved us. Our love for Him is manifest because He worked His love in us. He was obedient to the Father. And we show our love to Him by keeping His commandments. There is an inseparable connection between love and obedience to Christ. Therefore, if we wish to abide in Christ's love and grow in grace, we will do so by keeping His commandments. And the fact that Christ gives us His commandments, this is an act of love. The Lord does not wish us to remain in our sin. He loves us and therefore is actively working in us to deliver us from our sin. The Lord gives us His commandments not only to convict us of sin, but also to be a guide that will bring us closer to Him. He already abides with us. But since He loves us, He desires that we abide ever closer with Him. Therefore, He not only gives us a command to obey Him, but He also gives us the desire and the grace to do so. You see this in you, don't you, dear Christian? There's a new desire in your heart since the Lord worked in your heart. A new desire to live a holy life. You now love the Lord who saved you. You love Him with all your heart. And you do see obedience occurring, although it is an imperfect obedience, one still stained with sin. And you lament your remaining sin, confessing your sin to the Lord, wishing and hoping for the day when you will sin no more. But today, the Lord calls you. He calls us to come. He calls us to come and to look to Him. To look at the evidence of His love. To look at His perfect obedience. To look what He did for us in the incarnation. To look what He did on the cross for us. To look at the precious promises He's given us for the future. He calls you, dear Christian, to look to Him and to remember His love. And obedience to our Lord is tied together with this love. And the love that He works in us. His desire is that we reflect His love back to Him. But we see His desire is also that we love one another. He commands us in verse 12 saying, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." He calls for us to have that perfect love that the Father has for Him. That He has for us. He calls us to have this love for each other. And we'll see that love also pictured here today. Yes, the Lord's Supper is a call for us to remember Him, to remember the Lord's death, who He is and what He did for us. But it's also a picture of the perfect fellowship of the saints, brothers and sisters sitting in unity around the table. As we sit and together remember what the Lord has done, joined together in perfect love for our Savior, we will shortly be together eating the bread and drinking the wine together in remembrance of our great Lord and Savior. It's such a blessing that the Lord loves us individually, but also that He joins us together as a body, that He gives us in this church, that He gives us each other. What a joy, too. What a joy as we sit around this table and a new convert comes forward. When another comes confessing that they cannot live without the Lord, and they come and join the fellowship of the saints. Let us not forget the blessing we have as being this local body of Christ, of being given the privilege and honor to love and care each other, care for each other, to urge each other on in the race, in the fight to glory. Not only is obedience inevitable for those who are loved by Christ, not only as the body is obedience something that we must do, but joy is inevitable as well. Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Christ desires joy for His people. He desires that they know His joy. And where does Christ find joy? He finds joy in Himself. He finds joy in communion between the three persons of the Godhead. He finds joy in His perfectness. He finds joy in His works and what He's done. He finds joy in His obedience to His Father. He finds joy in sinners that come to repentance. He finds joy in communion with His saints. He finds joy in conforming His people into His image. And He will find joy in welcoming His saints into glory. And Christ wishes for us that we abide in His joy. He commands and invites us to believe Him here, to believe that He wants us to know His joy. And He desires us and commands us to keep His commandments. Because He desires that we abide in His love, and that by keeping His commandments, we are abiding in His love. And by doing this, we are experiencing His joy. The joy of living a godly life. The joy of a life dedicated to serving and loving the Lord and our neighbor. This is why David speaks often about loving God's law. He speaks about the joys of God's law. He loves living an obedient life. This is what the Christian loves, living an obedient life. For obedience keeps us close to Christ. And by being close to Christ, we experience His nearness as we reflect Him. It was Christ's joy to be obedient to the Father. He experienced agonizing suffering and a horrendous death. But yet it was His joy to be obedient, His joy to redeem His people. And now He comes this morning. Now he comes here and he calls us to remember him. And we have the opportunity to soberly and somberly remember what he did, to reflect upon the fact that it was our sin that nailed him to the cross. We have the opportunity to soberly reflect upon the incarnation, the suffering and the death that he experienced. But Christ also calls us to rejoice. To rejoice for what he has done. To rejoice in his love for us, his astounding love for miserable sinners like you and me. And we can rejoice. We can rejoice that such a good, kind, and gracious God would delight to eat and drink with sinners such as us. We can rejoice that he gives us commands to serve him. Even commands to remember him at his table. Amen. Please turn with me to the back of your Psalters where we'll read the last part of the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. We'll begin reading at the top of page 137. The top of page 137. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner we are to remember him by it, first, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do in remembrance of me. In like manner also, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread, and drink of this cup, You shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and to certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me, from this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same, who dwelleth in Christ, as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, for we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body through brotherly love for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only showed us in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here too assist us the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of thy Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt that thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul. As thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also thy grace that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. For he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, he was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may now be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Jesus Christ, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. The Lord Jesus says to his people, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. This is amazing love, poured out upon poor, undeserving sinners. And so he calls you, dear believer, he calls you to remember him this day. He calls you to come eat and drink with him. He calls you to bring nothing of yourself with you, none of your works, but simply to cling to him. He's your only hope. He is the author and finisher of your faith. So come. He says to you, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Now this first table is reserved for the elderly and those in need of assistance first. The Lord calls you to come forward and remember him, to remember what he has done for you, to come dine together as his saints, finding nothing in yourself, but everything in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and welcome. Dear sinner, come and bask in the love of your Savior. Come and see and taste what he has done for you. Our dear, faithful Savior, we thank thee, dear Lord, our great shepherd, for laying down thy life for thy sheep. And so help us, thy flock, to look away from ourselves, and for every look we give to ourselves, to look to thee, our perfect Savior, thou who has done all things well, thou who perfectly kept the law, who always acted rightly, thought rightly, had right motives. Thou art a good and righteous Savior. We deserve death for our sin, but thou, being the righteous one, the innocent one, paid a price that thou did not deserve. And thou went through it for us. And so, Lord, we thank thee so much that we can dine with thee, our Savior. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Our Lord came into this world. He took upon himself a human body, just like our body. In every way like us, yet without sin. And he suffered in his body. He lived in this world. He went through the same things that we as human beings all experience. He experienced grief and sorrow. He experienced pain and suffering. And he didn't need to do this. He didn't deserve this. But he went through all of this for you, dear sinner. He went through all of this because from all eternity he's had you in mind. He's loved you with a love that we can't even imagine. A love that is greater than any love we have ever had. A love that's perfect, infinite, and eternal. And not only did he live in this world and experience the effects of sin, but he took our sin upon him. And as innocent God-man, he suffered beatings and torture and a horrible death on the cross, so that he could have that eternal relationship with you. So that he could call you his friend. The bread which we have broken is the communion of the body of Christ. Take and eat. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. This is my blood, which is shed for you. Christ came, and he shed his blood. He shed his blood on the cross for his friends. This is my blood, which is shed for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you. The cup of blessing which we blessed. This is communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. Jesus told his disciples, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends." Well, wait a minute, you might say, I can think of greater love, laying down your life for your enemies. And it's true. It's true that Christ gave himself and he suffered on the cross for those who were by nature his enemies, who by nature despised him and did not wish to serve him. Christ did give himself for enemies. But what he says here is also correct. He laid down his life for those who were yet his enemies. But in his mind, they were his friends. He had chosen and loved them. He has chosen and loved you from all eternity. He's called you who were his enemies to be his friends. He laid his life down for you, his friends. And this is the greatest love. To lay down, to give yourself up for those who naturally hate you. To choose enemies to be your friends. To love them, to perfectly care for them. And then even desire to have fellowship with them. And so we have reason to rejoice this morning, because we who were enemies are now the friends of our Savior. And friends with each other. You who cannot claim any righteousness in yourself, your Savior calls you this morning. He calls you to again come and claim all righteousness in Him. To find your hope, to find your joy, to find your purpose, your redemption and salvation in Him. Your Savior who lived a perfect life for you, who died for you, who rose again for you, and who now sits at the right hand of the Father for you. He says, come. Come and remember me. Let us pray. Our faithful, glorious Lord. Lord, we would not claim to be thy friends, but thy word says so. And so trembling, we come to thee. Believing this, Lord, believing this wonder that is too wonderful to fully grasp, that the Lord of the universe, the Creator who spoke all things into existence, thou perfect God, calls thy people friends. So, Lord, help us to be in wonder today, to praise thy glorious name for who thou art and for all that thou hast done. Help us to focus on thee. And that we would experience, as it were, a little bit of glory this morning. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This bread that we break is the communion of the body of Christ. This is my body broken for you. Our Lord willingly broke his body for enemies. Consider his love, that he willingly laid down his life for those of us who by nature despise him. For those of us who by nature want nothing to do with him, we want to serve ourselves, we think that that will bring us peace and joy. But from all eternity, a people was chosen, and Christ willingly went to the cross. He willingly came into this world for you. He broke his body for you. Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. And how amazing to consider as we sit here that the Lord comes to us now to reassure us, to comfort us, to reassure us of His nearness, to reassure us of His love. And He not only tells us this in His Word, but He comes even nearer to us and closer to us to give our feeble minds something more to grasp. He comes and gives us physical representations of His love. And He's spiritually present in the elements, spiritually present with us to show us that He has not left us, though He in His body is in glory. Yet He is ever here with His people. This is my body broken for you. The bread which we broke is the communion of the blood, is the communion of the body of Christ. Take and eat. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. This is my blood shed for you. This is my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Christ willingly came for his friends, those who were enemies, but who he called to be his friends. And today he comes. And he dines with us. Wishing us to remember what he has done for us. The cup of blessing which we blessed is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. Jesus continues by saying, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I commanded you." Amazing, isn't it? First, to consider that God the Son, perfect in himself, having perfect communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit, would even consider having a relationship with his creation. Even more amazing, he values his relationship with his people. People like the disciples. People like us, sinners. And then he calls us friends. This isn't something that he reluctantly does, but he rejoices to call you friend. He delights having communion with you. He delights in your prayers, your devotions, your meditation. They're never a burden to the Lord. You are his friend. He rejoiced when you believed in him, and he eagerly awaits the day when you will enter into glory and he will exclaim, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But when he calls us friend, we must remember this isn't a friendship of equals. We are his friend. There is a friendship. But he remains our Lord. And as our good Lord, as our sovereign ruler, he also gives us commands to follow him. Commands, he provides us with a path forward to godly joy, a life of praise and thanksgiving, dedicated to our merciful and gracious God. So he comes here today, showing you himself, revealing to you who he is and what he has done for you. Dear struggling believer, you who have weak faith, you who grieve for your remaining sins, you who mourn because you cannot live for God's glory as you desire, You who are looking more to yourself than you are looking to Christ. You who think your sins are more than the Good Shepherd can cleanse. But yet, you who cannot live without Christ, you who believe on Him and believe in Him, yet you tremblingly hold to Him as your only hope. He invites you. He invites you, dear sinner, to come. To come and know that though your sins be as scarlet, yet you are as white as snow. He has forgiven you, and He has cleansed you from all your unrighteousness. So come. All things are ready. We have several more seats. Are there any others? Any others who cannot but confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is their only hope? Are there any others who cannot live without Him? You need Him every day, every hour. If there are no others, this will be the final table. Let us pray. We thank Thee, dear Lord, and come before Thee as sinners, miserable sinners, Lord, who lament our daily sin, who cry out with Paul over the condition of our sin, over the condition of the good that we, or the evil that we would not that we do, and the good that we would that we do not. We can cry out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? But like Paul, we too can praise Thee. We too can cry out of thankfulness because of Thee, dear Lord Jesus. Because of Thy eternal plan, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, that Thou agreed with the Father to come as our Savior. So help us to focus on Thee, and in these coming days and the rest of our lives to live out of Thee, to remember Thee, to live thankful lives of obedience to Thee. And we pray these things all in Jesus' name. Amen. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The Lord calls us to remember Him. He calls us to remember Him. Because He values us as friends. He desires to have a friendship with sinners. Unbelievable. And the more you learn about the gospel, the more you learn about your Savior, the more, as time goes on, the more astounded you will become at this immeasurable love that he has. And from all eternity, he agreed to come into this world and live a perfect life for you. He chose to die on the cross for you. And the day is coming, dear sinner. And this is unbelievable too, because Christ in glory right now is waiting for each saint, eagerly waiting for each saint. Eagerly waiting with the angels for the day when you enter into glory. They rejoiced at each saint's conversion. And the Lord will rejoice as each saint enters into glory, as he declares, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. This is my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And all these things seem too wonderful to be true. The idea that the Lord Jesus Christ would call someone like you or me friend. That he would rejoice at our conversion. That he would declare as each saint enters into glory, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But this is the wonder of the gospel. This is the wonder of salvation by grace through faith alone. For this is only possible because of our Lord, of how great and wonderful and unbelievable he is. It would not be possible if he did not say it for these things to be true. We resist them in our unbelief. Even as believers, the idea that this would be true. But it is true. And he's giving us evidence of this today. He's saying, as surely as you see this bread, as surely as you taste this bread, as surely as you see this wine, as surely as you taste this wine, so true is it what I say in my word. no greater love is there than a man should lay down his life for his friend. This is my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing which we blessed is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. Henceforth, Jesus says, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Jesus calls us friends, and we know this too, because he has made known to us all the things that he has heard of the Father. He's done that right here in his word. God's word is a testimony of Christ's love to us. He has not left us alone, but he speaks to us through his word continually. Every time we open our Bibles, every time we hear the preached word, it is Christ speaking to us in love, calling us to repentance, calling us to believe his precious promises, to believe his word, proclaiming the gospel to us, admonishing us for our sin, calling us to action, comforting us in our affliction. Though our Lord in his human nature is in glory, sitting at the right hand of the Father, yet he, in his spirit, is very present with us. And dear Christian, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therefore his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let everyone say in his heart with an attentive heart, O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humbly and hearty thanks that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal. That thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.